Sprint Cars, Super Late Models, Thunder Cars, Modifieds, World of Outlaws, Arcas, all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, famed short tracks.
All the way to the high-banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
And just like that, look at that, we are on the air. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. So glad you picked tonight to tune in. We got a dynamite lineup for you. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr. here in the Racetime Radio studio. All set to go, Jr., or what?
Yes, we're fired back up.
Man.
We're going.
Seems like a long time.
It has been. It has been a while. You were out in Eastbound Park last weekend, and obviously I was over at Mossport, so we took last weekend off.
Well,
And now we're back on the air, so it's good to be back.
It is. And, man, we got a lot to talk about. We got a lot of great guests coming up on the program. Let's tell everybody first who we got coming up. We're going to do somewhat of a little bit of a review from last weekend. We've got L.P. Dumoulin going to stop on by. He won the NASCAR Pindies race at CTMP. Of course, you were right there. Actually, your guy that you were spotting for was right there. Just about won that race.
Just about, but doesn't that go sideways in a hurry? This is one of those nights where I've got to watch what I say the entire time. And that's crazy because I really want to say some crazy stuff, but I'm not going to.
No.
So just know in the back of your mind, that guy means something crazy in the back of his mind. But anyways, last weekend was a good showing. LP, congrats to him. That's absolutely cool. LP went out and won that race.
First win since 2014.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while.
40 and starts or something.
And they celebrated hard. They celebrated very hard. Just a great showing. He was in the hunt the entire day. So there's absolutely nothing you could say bad about that win. He absolutely drove the wheels off of that race car the entire day, and he was there when it counted, and just congratulations to him. Really looking forward to catching up to him. It's going to be a happy interview.
Yeah.
The guy has worked and built his own program, so I think it means extra special things that it's not, you know, he's raced for a lot of different teams himself.
A lot of big names.
Now he's racing for the Dumoulin race team and went out there and got their first win as a group. So hats off to them. I'm really looking forward to catching up with LP.
Yeah, we're going to do that here in hour number one. We're also going to hear from, and if you followed this weekend at Charlotte Motor Speedway, you'll know the NASCAR Xfinity cars were on the racetrack yesterday. You know the Coca-Cola 600's on right now. And we'll try and do some updates with that throughout the course of the night. But you'll also know, if you keep your eye on the Canadian talent, Alex Labbé had some difficulties yesterday at Charlotte. His cool box didn't work. LP needed some medical attention. Or not LP, Alex. And if I mess up here quite a bit tonight, forgive me. I've been on the road and just actually flew back in from Halifax. But we're going to hear from Alex Labbé here tonight, live on the program. We're going to check in with him. We're going to talk not only about Charlotte and how he's feeling today, but we're definitely going to take a look at the first part of the season. He's been running full tilt in the NASCAR Xfinity Series and doing an incredible job in that 36. Him and Mario Gosselin and the whole team that they got assembled, those guys mean business, and they're doing it, Junior. They're doing a good job.
Yeah, they're doing a whale of a job, and hats off, really, to the Xfinity Series. Look at this team. They can fire up, really, at the beginning of this season, and these guys can fire off and be competitive. Number one, that's a big thing, and that's something that we haven't seen in a long time out of one of those top three series. For a new team to fire up and out of the box be competitive, hats off to the Xfinity Series for closing that gap on the competition side, number one. And these guys have been working their tails off and getting after it. And, you know, a lot of people have got one eye on you know, how they are working it out. And they're doing an incredible job. They've been inside that top 15. you know, religiously, week in and week out. Ran into a couple of tough runs the last couple weeks, obviously at Dover getting tore up a little bit, and as well going back to on the Bristol side, having a great run. But, you know, just the overall group have been working really hard. It's going to be good to catch up with Alex and just really talk about the entire season so far, because it's been a whirlwind for the guy.
Sure has, and he's up to the task, and we're going to speak with Alex here shortly. We'll also catch up tonight. How about Brandon Watson? He went out and won the first APC race. We're going to check in with the number 9 here tonight. We'll also catch up with another Watson. This one drives the 22 Super Late model, multi-champion Glenn Watson. We're going to hear from Glenn here tonight on the program. So that's who we got coming up guest-wise. But I also want to tell you, any of the faithful listeners here to Racetime Radio, know that a few weeks ago, we got a real good listener of Racetime Radio, Tone, listens to Racetime all the time. And he is a faithful guy that goes down to Michigan International Speedway and catches the spring race and probably the fall race. Tone is going to be with us here tonight. And he has got some tickets, Junior, that we're going to give away on this program. We got a contest idea, and we're going to roll it out here in just a couple of moments because we actually got him on the hotline.
Yeah, for sure. And Tony Salt is just a great cat. He's a longtime listener of Racetime Radio, obviously, and as well, just one of the coolest things, and I can't stress it enough how cool this is. The guy's a fan of motorsports. He's got no vested interest in either Racetime Radio or Michigan International Speedway. And you know, the coolest part is he wants to give a fan an opportunity to come out and experience what's happening at Michigan Speedway. And you just can't. That's so cool. That's the community atmosphere of what motorsports is all about.
Yeah, it sure is. And we've got Tone on the hotline. What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Not too much. Just got done barbecuing. And like Little Joe said, that's what I want to do. That's what got me into racing, is someone said, here's the ticket. You want to go? And I decided to go. And on different platforms of social media, I've been giving away tickets for 4 years now. So I decided, because I love Racetime Radio, it's Canadian, and decided to do it.
Well, we can't thank you enough for that. And I know the listenership has got to be coming off the chip, too, for an opportunity to win a couple of tickets to Michigan International. And this isn't just, you know, you're going to go to one race. Tony, you got some really cool, you got a two-ticket package here with the deck. We got 38 Special Concert in there, Xfinity. This is a weekend deal. This is cool.
It's actually a three-ticket because you get the ARCA on the Friday, you get Saturday Xfinity, then the 38 Special, and you get Cup on Sunday.
Unbelievable. And Michigan, if you've watched Michigan on TV, which, you know, a lot of us do, it's totally different when you're at the racetrack and experiencing it live, right?
Oh, totally different. The Glen plays the Canadian national anthem, but Michigan does too because they love the Canadian fans. They said about 20% Canadian. You meet so many walks of people there. And, you know, I walked through last year and I had a Corey Turner shirt on. Dirt shirt. I was walking through and I got about 10 comments on that shirt.
That is really cool.
That is cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And well, I posted it on social media. Corey Turner reached out to me, said, that's one of my old shirts. You need a new one. And he gave me one because he's seen it because I posted it on. It was an old shirt.
That's too cool, isn't it?
That's neat.
It is. And that's just word of mouth. And, you know, like I was at Oswego Speedway Friday, word of mouth. And got a bunch of new listeners. Said, hey, listen to Racetime on Sunday. Giving away some tickets.
Well, thank you very much for that. And hello to all the new listeners as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. How was the Big O on Friday night? You guys have a good time? I can well imagine. I love that track.
Oh, it was good. It was good. There's a little bit of kinks they got to work out. But, you know, new track and they're doing a bunch of work to it. But it was good racing. Well, any race is a good race for me.
Yeah, and Glenn did a lot of reconfiguring there, right? What did he do? Did he make the track bigger, or did he change, like, banking or something? What did he do?
No, he didn't make it bigger. He took he had a track on the inside. He got rid of that. I think the banking may be a little steeper and stuff, and just a bunch of work for they reconfigured where the parking's going to be and a whole bunch of new fencing, and then there's now fencing in turn 3-4. It's a lot better. Like, it's a work in progress, so to speak.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Those guys always forward thinking. And Glenn Stiers does a bang-up job. Clinton Jeffries out there. Those guys, the whole crew does a great job. And I remember that track on the infield. It's been a couple of years since I've been at the Big O, but I remember it. The four cylinders used to use that little track on the infield, right?
Yeah, they got rid of the little track on the infield now, and which is, well, some say it's better, some say it's worse, but it's maybe for the better. But it was more track maintenance to get rid of it, or to, if they had it, right?
So yeah.
They can now focus on the big track, right?
That's right. And that's right. You know what? At the end of the day, that's where you want to be racing, is on the big track. So you might as well start out there. You're going to learn a whole lot more running on the big track than you would on a little one anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
100%.
Yeah. Going to be awesome. Look at... Junior and I have been talking about this. We've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks. I'm trying to figure out what is the best route to do this contest and give away these tickets. We know now, like, there's a lot of people that download Racetime Radio that may not listen to it live. So what we're thinking here, Tony, is we're going to extend the contest. We'll launch it tonight. We'll leave it open until Friday of this week. And then on Friday, we'll do a random draw. So... what we're kind of thinking here is, and you give us your opinion on this, what do you say we name the winner? You got to name the winner of the spring race last year in the Cup Series. And what you're going to do is email, direct message, or Facebook,
yep,
direct, or call, yep, into the program. You got to do one of those here tonight or throughout the course of the week, because I know a lot of people download the show. So to include those people... you give us the name of the Cup winner from the spring race at Michigan last year, and you hashtag it, thanks, Tony, and we will enter you into the draw. How does that sound?
That sounds great.
And that's what we'll do. And when we do that, Tony, you're going to be the guy that draws it.
Okay, I can do that. That's not a problem.
Yep,
that
we'll set perfect. You up with everything.
And you, yep, can use, you can do it on Facebook. You can do it on Twitter, Instagram. We're not on Instagram. We focus in on Twitter and we focus in on Facebook. You can even post it on Instagram. We'll search them. You're probably not going to get entered though. but if you do it on Twitter and on Facebook, just make sure you hashtag thanks Tony. Tell us who won the Cup race in June last year at Michigan, and you'll be entered in. So if you're driving down the road and it's Tuesday now and you're listening to us, pull over, put it in park, because you don't want to be doing this on the road, but
that's right.
Pull over, throw it in park, because I know a lot of guys download this, and shoot us a note. Let's get after it.
Yeah, we got a lot of listeners on SiriusXM, of course, right across Canada and the U.S., and you don't have to be Canadian to win this, do you, Tom?
No, of course not. No.
We'll open it up.
Whoever listens to RTR.
Yep, that sounds awesome. So that's what we're going to do. There's the contest. What you need to do, just to recap, give us a Twitter direct message on Facebook. Call the program. You can do that tonight, too. Give us the winner of the Cup race from the spring race at Michigan last year, and you'll be entered into the contest. We'll draw it on Friday, and a lucky fan is going to get a pair of tickets to Michigan International Speedway for this spring race. It comes up June the 10th weekend, right?
Yep, yep.
And you're going to get in there for three races. You're going to get the ARCA race, you're going to get the Xfinity race, and you're going to get the Cup race. And how about 38 Special to boot?
Yep, absolutely. All three.
Amazing. Tony, this is unprecedented. For a listener to do this, this is unprecedented. Good job, man.
Hey, it's just my little way of saying thanks for what you guys do.
Well, we really appreciate it. Who are you going to take tonight in the Coke 600?
I took Bad Brad. I don't know if it's a good pick, but...
How's he looking right now?
Not too bad, but I'm not sure. We're going to have to wait. A lot of miles left to go.
You can't really bet against Penske this weekend, can you? He obviously went to Victory Lane in the Xfinity race, backed it up with Victory Lane today in the Indy 500, and now, you know, qualified on the outside front row with Joey Logano. So Penske's got their ducks in a row this weekend.
The Fords do. The Fords have got something.
That's right.
Yeah, amazing. Like, and how about the job Kenseth is doing now, when jumping into the six? What do you think of that?
I think that's amazing. Like, it would have been amazing if he would have won the All-Star race. The poll was totally amazing. But I'm looking forward to seeing him in 2 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be off the hook. Michigan, you've been there a number of years watching the races, of course. What do you got to watch out for at Michigan? Who's the team that you focus in on? Is it because you're a fan of a particular team, or is there some guys that just show up well at Michigan?
Larson.
Yeah, Kyle Larson. Man, he's tough to beat everywhere.
Yeah, but Larson, I don't know what it is about Michigan, but he's got it pegged for Michigan.
Both Michigan and California, those two style of racetracks just fit him like a glove, don't they?
They do, yeah. I don't know what it is. It's just something about him.
Yeah, he's a crazy sprint car driver. That's what it is. That's what you like about him, too.
Well, exactly. Well, you know what? It's going to be kind of epic because I have got hot passes this year.
Nice.
And I have got the trophy from Oswego Speedway. I bid on it in a Christmas draw. I won it, and I'm going to get him to sign it this year.
Ah, too cool. Good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to work out well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, awesome stuff, Tony. This is awesome. We will announce, or we'll definitely be plugging this contest throughout the course of the night. And of course, we're going to do it. I know Sue's all over it on social media right now, probably putting it all out there. And we're gonna get somebody that's really gonna have a good time. And it's all thanks to you, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, then not a problem. I just, you know what, get more people into racing, and hey, this is what got me into racing.
So
well,
cool,
you know. We can't thank you enough for your support and for all you do. This is cool. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, of course. And, hey, when them people win, right, I'm in turn three. They can come over. We'll play some cornhole on my RTR cornhole boards because I got a big sticker from you guys. And
right on. We'll
enjoy a beverage.
That sounds awesome. I wish we could be there.
You're more than welcome.
One of these days.
Big Joe. I don't know about Little Joe.
Yeah.
Sorry, Little Joe. Had to put that jab in.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Good one. Good one, buddy. Tone, thanks so much. We are underway, buddy.
Okay, thanks, guys.
You bet. Enjoy the show tonight. Sure do appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, guys. Have a good show.
You betcha. That's Tone, and look at that. We got the contest underway. Just a quick reminder here. Give us the name of the spring race winner, Michigan International Speedway, in the Cup Series.
Yep.
Give us that name. You got to make sure you hashtag it, thanks, Tony. You got to do that. That's how you're going to qualify to get into this contest. And you could be on a random draw come next Friday. We're going to draw out of the contest entries that are correct. We're going to draw out of there for a lucky ticket winner. That's going to win two tickets to Michigan. All compliments to Tony, and it's a full weekend deal. That's cool.
Yeah, and they're deck tickets, too. So just so everybody knows, they're up in Turn 3. The view up there and the view at Michigan, there isn't a bad spot in the house. But really, the deck tickets, where these things are, I've been up there, and it's incredible. The speed that these cars carry is stupid at a place like Michigan, and I love it. It's guaranteed, whether it's the ARCA series cars, whether it's Xfinity, whether it's trucks, whether it's whatever is there, is just incredible. The amount of speed that these guys carry and what you can see at Michigan, and really how awesome of a facility it is. They do a great job there.
Is it anywhere close to the Velcro thing where they
get
everybody done up and
that's a lot of fun though.
Stick them on the
that's a
Velcro.
Lot of fun.
Yeah, I can well imagine.
They throw you up against the Velcro and see how high you can get.
They didn't do that to you.
They didn't. Nobody can throw me.
I don't think so. No. Let's talk about the weekend, shall we? I was as mentioned earlier here, flew back in from Halifax today. Anyone that was tuned in and has been listening to Racetime Radio, you'll know that we had the Cummins 150 this past weekend, just last night, actually, live from Scotia Speed World. It was the Parts for Trucks Tour. All I can say is what a race. Amazing job. Jerry Paxton, Josh Paxton, Brad Mann, Tim Terry, myself. We had a blast in that race, and the response has just been overwhelming. A lot of fans tuned into it. A lot of fans enjoyed it. And I'll tell you what, you got to make it out to one of those Parts for Trucks races. It was incredible to stand there and watch that show It was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Mum pulled up the numbers last night talking, you know, about what all took place.
Yeah.
144,000, and it was right at the checkered flag.
Yeah.
Had tuned in and were taking part and listening to what was happening for the Parts for Trucks tour. And that's, you know, those numbers take a long time. So you guys haven't pulled the final numbers of what all happened. You know, just that's definitely cool. Getting the people that can't get out there, obviously, it sounded like a great crowd out there, and it sounded like, you know, everything was jam-packed, the beer gardens especially up there, it sounded like it was a great turnout, but also for everybody that couldn't attend, got a chance to catch and to hear the great battle that both Butcher and Blankhorn put on right at the end of the show there.
Yeah, there were so many storylines coming out of this, Junior, and like you say, Dylan Blankhorn that won the first race at Petty just a week ago, he had an incredibly fast race car. The 67 was on rails. The 53 of Cole Butcher, he's part of the Alan Kowicki Driver Development Program. Atlantic tilt load on the side of that race car. Beautiful looking race machine. And Cole has done a lot of winning at Scotia. He's done a lot of winning at all those tracks out there. But he was dialed in. He had that car flying. His brother, too, Jarrett Butcher. Epic battle between Jarrett Butcher and Donald Chisholm, the two of those guys, side by side. I got to say, I'll bet you it was 45 laps those guys battled back and forth. One would be on the inside. They'd switch up, want to go to the outside. They couldn't get by one another. It was and it was like that all the way around the racetrack. The 8 car, Kent Vincent from PEI, the guy tore the car up. Brand new Crooks car. He had that, pulled it into Petty. And there's, as we've heard on this program, we've got a ton of new race cars in the Parts for Trucks tour. But Kent Vinson, brand new race car, sitting up really close to the front, ends up in the fence at Petty, tears that brand new Crux car all to pieces. The crew went to work all week. I can tell you right now, that thing was pristine when it hit the racetrack, as they all were. But that 8 car, you'd never know that thing even had, you know, anybody even touch it. The thing looked great. It ran great. Gary Crooks was there. Too bad we didn't have a little better weather for the guys when they were setting up and getting things dialed in. They could have probably used a lot more of Gary Crooks, but they did get practice in. Gary got him going, and Vincent, another top 10 run for him. There were so many good storylines in that. If you haven't listened to the Cummings 150, you can get to racetimeradio.com and have a listen to it. You can click on it, download it there. It's available on iTunes, in all those different locations. Check it out. You got some spare time. You want to listen to a great super late model race? They're called Pro Stocks on the East Coast, the Parts for Trucks Tour. Click on that, baby. Have a listen to it. It's like an hour and 28 minutes for 150-lap race, and it goes like a bullet. It was just a dynamite show.
Yeah, definitely. Just a big show all around, and really two races out of the gate, and look who you got up front. It's looking like a young gun series right now. There's a bunch of young talent sitting up there in the top five, and obviously, you know, looking at the overall, you know, the buzz heading into race number three now, there's been some hurt feelings so far this year. Obviously, over at Petty, there's some good storylines that are developing from there. Not good in the fact that, you know,
well,
you know what I'm saying.
Well, there's rivalry, and it's good for the fans.
Exactly.
It really is.
Exactly.
They're out there, and they're watching. And what really, really took us back, and I know Brad and I and Jerry, Josh, we were all standing around talking. I said, look, guys, when you look at this Parts for Trucks deal out here, take a look at the manufacturers. We used to see Ford and Chevy and Dodge all involved in short track racing. We don't see that anymore. There's still brand loyalty. But from the big three, they don't support short track racing like they should, in my opinion. But what is kind of cool is those builders now have really started to fill that gap. And when you look at that Parts for Trucks tour, you got everything from, like I said, Crooks has got a lot of cars out there. Hemke's got some cars out there. Port City has got some real fast cars out there. Van Dorn, Fury, all the big names, all the big manufacturers of super late models in North America, not just here in Canada, I'm talking North America wide, they're participating in that tour. And it isn't guys just going and buying a race car and taking it out there and that's the end of it. I'm talking those guys are dialed in and getting information from those main, you know, those main entities and getting those cars set up. They want to win in the parts for trucks deal, and that is super cool.
Yeah, most definitely. And really, there's only a few series where you see stuff like that, right? Like, when you look at Fury Race Cars, there's a couple of guys, obviously, with Fury Race Cars that we talked to over the course of the off-season. And,
yeah.
And Fury Race Cars just went out there and put a car in the top 10 all day at Charlotte in the NASCAR Xfinity Series with Kaz Grala. And, you know, you've got a team like that building short track late models all across the southern United States, but also up into, you know, up into the Maritimes and even into the APC series. But then you also had the diversity of the big players. You know, Port City has got a little fleet of cars in there in that tour that are full assistance from Port City. Obviously, it is a different game than the manufacturers back in the day, right? It's not just a Ford car that they say, here you go, and you go race. And I don't think those days are ever going to be around again. But the way that it is now with the big players, they see value in certain guys and they make concessions to get there and be in the front and sell more race cars in that series. And, you know, the more notoriety the series gets, the bigger and more prominent those types of deals are going to be. When you look at the Cars Tour, right, it's close to Mooresville.
Sure.
And it's close in the, you know, they race in that corridor of southern United States. And you have that same feel. But really, you don't have the diversity that you have in the Parts for Trucks Tour.
Right.
You have the Hamkes, and you have a couple of smaller builders, and then you have Fury, and then you have KBM, and you have a couple of those different types, and Levitt. And but it's odd to see so few teams have such powerful partnerships that you see in the Parts for Trucks Tour. And that's what makes it so special. You know, when you look at the diversity that you're seeing from manufacturers, that shows you that the rule book is really solid. It's not just a manufacturer that is controlling the rule book. And that is one big thing that you can point out and really put your finger on and say, man, they're doing a good job with the tour.
Yeah, and it speaks volumes about the teams that are participating out in that series as well. They are true short track professionals, I got to tell you. We've been covering them for like 8 years, and every year that bar seems to go up. We got the, you know, the big iconic races that are coming up, the IWK 250 at Riverside, and of course the CAT 250 is also coming up at Scotia. Those are two iconic ones, but I'll tell you, the 150s are where it's at as well. The tour is just doing an amazing job. It was another great race. Tune in and have a listen to that Cummins 150. I'm pretty sure you're really going to enjoy it and see what you think. Let us know and let the tour know what you think of it. I know they'd sure appreciate it. But, Junior, we're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we're going to pull in the NASCAR Pindy Series race winner from Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. We got LP Dumoulin going to join us on the other side of the break. So don't go anywhere. We're just getting started here tonight.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
The General's back in town.
The stars and cars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour return to Riverside International Speedway.
Put your tap shoes on, it's time to dance!
Saturday, June 16th at 3 p.m. Eastern. It's a Ron McGilvery, Chevy, Buick, GMC 150.
All right, man, you're ready to go.
Under the lights at Riverside International Speedway.
We have a goal green.
From pre-race to post-race, it's all live worldwide at racetimeradio.com. Don't miss the Ron McGilvery, Chevy, Buick, GMC 150.
Yeah, yeah, baby, yeah!
Saturday, June 16th. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. For tickets and info, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers, get your victory lane smile at dawsondental.ca. And by Bobbleheads Canada. Visit bobbleheadscanada.ca.
Catch National Post Radio with Anthony Fury on Canada Talks.
Sue Ann Levy, Toronto Sun writer.
Donations were down. Their sponsorships were way, way down. Their donations were down to 100,000 from 800,000 or 700,000. And everything was down. And they refused to believe that the police band had anything to do with it.
Tune into National Post Radio weekdays at 7 a.m. Eastern on Canada Talks, Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Plus side up.
Jimmie Johnson's blowing the race leader off too!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
From the high banks of Daytona to the snow banks in Canada, we cover it all. Ooh, that's going to leave a mark. And now, back to the Joes.
Hey, shake and bake, Al. Woo, shake and bake.
And here on Racetime Radio.
And we are back. Welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in here tonight. We're just getting started. So excited to get my next guest up on the hotline. He went to Victory Lane at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park just a week ago. Let's welcome back the number 47 WeatherTech Belmar Dodge. We have LP Dumoulin. What's going on, LP?
Hey, everything's great, my friend.
Yeah, you got to be doing good, brother.
Oh, yeah, that's the way to start for WeatherTech Benmar 47 team there at the CTMP. We were very happy about the result.
LP, you had a great weekend all the way through. It wasn't just checkers at the end. You had a great weekend, and really your brother had a great weekend going until his issues out on the racetrack. But you've built quite the little team there, my friend.
We're super proud about it. I mean, those guys have been working so hard over the winter, and then the cars are getting, like, in my book, I think we're in the right position right now to get to win more races. So, I mean, JF, I mean, unfortunately, didn't get the result that the team was deserved, and JF was actually doing very well in the testing. Unfortunately, he had a bad vibration in his cars, and then he couldn't finish the race. But on the 47, the WeatherTech Benmar team, we won the race there, and we were super proud of that.
Yeah, it feels good, bud, when you get and you go out there and accomplish the goal. It's you as a driver, but it's the team and the teamwork that goes in behind it. It takes every little piece of the puzzle in order to hit Victory Lane, because you are going up against some of the toughest customers in this national game. LP, that was your first win since 2014. You guys have been really, really working hard to get it. And what's it feel like to get that big win and get that monkey off your back?
That it feels awesome, because the thing is, I mean, we were aware of the whole deal there. When we started our team, JF and I, 3 years ago, that's our third year doing the whole, you know, prepping the cars and having our own team. It was not easy at the beginning, and then we did a lot of good top five, a lot of good podiums, you know, and we got really close to win very often. But just to close the deal this weekend was just awesome. And I'm super proud for those guys that's been working super hard within those 3 years now to make that whole deal happen. We did won the championship before. We did won, you know, a couple races, and then now we got, you know, we got that one this past weekend, and super happy about it. But believe me, the whole reason why we decided to start our own team is to go get more wins and to get, you know, those wins more you know, every weekend. So I'm super happy for those guys, and we will go get some more.
So, LP, you start the new team. Is it more work than you expected? Is it harder than you expected? Because now you've tasted success in it. But compare the two, driving for someone or putting your own deal together, is it more than what you expected?
Well, it is. It is more work than I was expecting it. But the thing is, I think that as we were getting going, doing it, everything was getting harder to get, you know, everything was getting to a certain competition level that it was like everybody was just improving, all the other teams. And I've been telling a lot of guys, like, I mean, you look at Stickley, Kennington, and Hathaway, whatever, you call them all, those guys been there forever, for more than 30 years now, 25 to 30 years, and those guys were doing super well. I mean, how can you get it to that level within 2 years? It's not easy. And we did really well, I think, within those 2 years. And I'm proud of it. But believe me, I'm all about winning. I'm all about winning races, and I'm all about winning that championship. I'm waking up in the morning thinking about it, and I'm waking up in the morning thinking about my sponsors is right behind me saying, hey, we're there. We're backing you up, and that I'm so proud of. And believe me, I'm right there thinking about winning that championship again and winning more races.
Well, and that's the thing, too. You're a past champion of the NASCAR Pindy Series. After you taste victory as a champion, there's no doubt you want to do it again and again. All you got to do is ask Scott Stuckley, a four-time guy, has done it, and everybody wants to do it again after you become a champion. Those same guys that were, you know, helping you out as you, you know, when you're a rookie and you come into the series, the guys would talk to you and, you know, give you little hints here, and here's what you do in this aspect. I can bet they're all tight-lipped now. They won't say a word to you because now you're a winner.
Hey, well, this is one thing. I got to give all my boys and girls in the shop right now, whatever everything they've been doing the past couple of years and what they've been doing the last winter, it was awesome. And then, yes, we have friends. We have friends that's been helping us in the past, guys that we won a championship with before that are still there, still helping the morning competition and the WeatherTech Betmore team. They're still there helping us right now, and I can tell you they're not giving up on us. And soon enough you'll see that there's big guys out there helping us, and we're very happy about it.
LP, talk a little bit about the business side and kind of the state of where the NASCAR Pinty Series is as a series. I was there this past weekend, and of course I wasn't there for the past 2.5-3 years, but I was blown away at the amount of corporate guests and hosting and you know, sponsor gathering at the racetrack that I haven't seen before in a long time in the Pinty Series. Talk to us a little bit about where you feel that the series is and where do you see it going?
Hey, again, I've been one of the war horse of that series. I've been so proud about that series and saying that, you know, the drivers we got, but as well as the team we have in that series is super serious. Like, we are again, last weekend we were just, you know, in that press conference after the race, and then you got that guy Noah Gretzen or something. I mean,
yeah,
Noah was there, and he was saying, you know, to be racing against those badass road course driver is just amazing. And he said that he wants to be back in the next race because he said that there's nothing like that to be helping his truck series driving. So I am super proud of that series. The Pinty Series right now is, in my book, one of the most competitive series in the whole world, with the drivers we got, but as well as for the teams we have. And then this is super important. I think it is super important in Canada to keep that series going. And the guys from Pinty, the guys from NASCAR are doing a great job. A great job from, you know, to rule the game as well as to keep the game going. And I'm super happy and proud to be part of that whole series. And, I, you know, again, my sponsor that's been there forever, knowing that I was starting a team 2 years ago that are still there, WeatherTech and Benmart, you know, saying, hey, guy, you know, like, keep on going and we'll keep on pushing and cheering for you.
Well, as long as you keep the results coming, man, that's what you got to do in this game. Now the focus turns from, you know, the fast Canadian Tire Motorsport Park into a real fast oval. You guys head off to Jukasa next. How is the plans coming for the oval track car, and what's your thoughts heading into Jukasa?
Well, again, it's a big, you know, you know, for my guys that's been working there, you know, very hard during the winter on my both programs, the road course and the oval. But on my road course, we do, you know, we did have, you know, some problems within the last 2 years. And I think we got part of it resolved right now. And then, I don't know. I don't want to be too excited, but that oval car had a lot of love over the winter. And I just can't wait to get going on that oval program because within the last 2 years, I think it's our oval program, actually, that kept us alive. We did a lot of podiums and a lot of good results. And then during this winter, we did cut, you know, that chassis like pretty hard to make it lighter, faster, and stronger. So I just can't wait to get going for Jukasa.
When a guy like LP Dumoulin says the car got a lot of love over the winter, that's a dangerous thing. That's a dangerous thing. That's definitely everybody else has got to take note to hearing that, and that's really cool. I don't think I could have been any happier than to see you in victory lane. It was such a cool deal this past weekend. Just seeing you had the biggest smile on your face I think I've ever seen you have.
Well, again, you know, to be part of that, you know, a whole series and to be part of that, you know, that group of drivers and team, JF, my brother and I, JF with that Spectra Premium car, you know, has been working really hard to make it happen. And he didn't deserve that result last weekend. These guys were working really hard to make that whole deal happen. And believe me, they will come back stronger. It's looking good. We're excited about it. We just can't wait to get going again on the oval circuit. And then, Jukasa, we did very well last year. JF and I actually had some pretty cool dicing together, you know, rubbing some fenders in between brothers and Jukasa last year. So we're looking for the next couple races.
Yeah, it's going to be off the hook. Fans are going to be excited to see you guys in the NASCAR Pindy Series back at Jukasa. And you're going to see them there twice this year. So some data you're going to be able to accumulate. You'll be able to pull out those notes from last year and, like you say, throw some love to the car and we'll see what happens. But that one there should be off the hook. And LP, great to see you back in victory lane. Great to hear you're pumped up. And good job for WeatherTech and everybody there. They got to be excited, and they got to be excited for the future.
That is for sure. Thank you, my friends, and let's be there and strong.
Well, we'll keep a seat for you, LP. Good luck, and thanks so much for your time tonight, bud.
Cheers, y'all.
You bet. That's LP Dumoulin. He's one happy guy. He always is, Junior.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's just a great cat and a great personality in the sport, not just in Pinty's. I mean, everywhere that he goes, and really the entire family is. Those guys are Hall of Famers. In Canada for sure. The way that the Dumoulin staff operate is with class and dignity and the entire thing. When's the last time you seen, when's the last time you seen a race without a 47 WeatherTech car in it? It's becoming iconic now.
Sure it is.
And really, when you look at DJ Kennington with Castrol, right? DJ has had Castrol for a very long period of time, and he's noted. He's the Castrol guy, but LP is the WeatherTech guy. And really, there's only two guys that are like that in the series, right? Like, Ranger's the Mopar guy at the moment, and hopefully for a long period of time, he's the Mopar guy. But really, he's such an iconic brand to be attached with, is with LP. you know, just the way that I was blown away this past weekend. I'm going to say it. I've been to a million and one Pinty's races, and the buzz that was there this past weekend was incredible. They did a great job. Obviously, the event was a huge smashed success with how many people were there and at the grounds, right? There was 35,000 people there all day long. That number might be a little weak. You know, the overall, looking at it, I had a long conversation with Brandon McReynolds and Noah Gregson sitting at dinner watching the All-Star race, and they said they were blown away with how many people were there to watch them race.
Right.
And they were talking about the night before with, and I'm not saying anything bad about the truck series or anything like that, but, and I don't think they were either. They just came from racing the truck race on the Friday night, and they said there was maybe, you know, 5,000 or 6,000 people there in the grandstand.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they show up at CTMP and you know, there's a solid 35,000 people there. Campers everywhere, cars everywhere. It took me 40 minutes to get out of the racetrack.
Yeah, yeah.
It took me 40 minutes to get out of the racetrack because of traffic. And that's a great problem to have here in Canada. Blown away. Great job by everybody at CTMP.
Yeah. Let's see if we can get that at Yucasa too. And, you know, some more stuff
exactly.
happening here.
Yep.
We got real good support. There's a lot of great race fans, good base
yep.
here in Canada, you know, supplying all those series.
Yes.
And that's what we need. And it's starting to show. It's coming back. It's getting bigger and better.
Yep.
And the excitement level has got to be going through the roof on pretty well everybody. It's a pretty cool time to be a race fan here in Canada. Got a lot of good races to come throughout the course of the summer. And a lot of good competitors you're going to be able to hear right here on Race Time. We're going to step out, take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk NASCAR Xfinity Racing with Canadian driver of the number 36. We got Alex Lebe. Going to join us on the other side of the break. We'll get an update from him. And trust me, you're going to want to hear from Alex here in just a couple of moments. Stay with us here live tonight on Race Time.
Oui, bonjour, Bruno Gaillette, gazman de la voiture numéro 27. Vous écoutez Race Time Radio.
Bonjour, ici Ando Ranger, coureur de la voiture 27. Vous écoutez Race Time Radio. I'm Andrew Ranger. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
The General's back in town.
The stars and cars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour return to Riverside International Speedway.
Put your tap shoes on, it's time to dance!
Saturday, June 16th at 3 p.m. Eastern. It's the Ron McGilvery, Chevy, Buick, GMC 150.
All right, man, you're ready to go.
Under the lights at Riverside International Speedway.
Have a go, Green.
From pre-race to post-race, it's all live worldwide at racetimeradio.com. Don't miss the Ron McGilvery, Chevy, Buick, GMC 150.
Yeah, yeah, baby, yeah!
Saturday, June 16th. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. For tickets and info, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam.
If you stop for 1 minute and think that you're going to stay ahead, you are absolutely kidding yourself, because everybody in that garage is trying to catch up. So as a team, when you have an advantage, you have to make sure that you motivate your people and make sure you reiterate to your people, we have to keep pushing forward, because if you sit on your hands, you will get left behind in this deal in about 6 weeks.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam. Heard exclusively on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Race Time Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you closer.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
Wow, that was quick. That cut off real fast.
Welcome back.
I forgot. I guess I forgot the tail end of that, baby. Welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio.
Nobody would have noticed.
As I said, it's been a long day. I got up awful early on the east coast of Canada, and now back in Ontario.
No, you drove back, right?
No.
Oh, you flew back.
Well, no, I was a passenger.
Oh, you
I was
flew
a passenger.
Back.
That
you could have had a nap.
Mr. WestJet did it again. Got me from one end of the country to the other and did it in great fashion.
But, hey, before we go to this next guest, yes. I got to give a shout out. And for anybody that's listening that likes to have a second screen going, you got to pull out your phone or pull out your iPad, and you got to go to Twitter, and you got to search Indy 500 Picks, P-I-C-S, Indy 500 Picks, and just scroll through their pictures.
Okay.
So obviously there's 300,000 people at Indy, right?
Right.
Everybody has a good time.
Right.
A lot of people have too good of a time.
Right.
The pictures are of the people who had way too good of a time.
Way too good of a time.
And well, it is hilarious.
Well,
I suggest it to everybody here to go check it out. Indy 500 PICS. And, you got to check it out.
Yeah, we'll do that. Okay, let's get back to the hotline. I can't wait to talk to this next guest. He's been doing an incredible job in his NASCAR Xfinity number 36. Of course, I'm talking about Alex Labbe. And he's with us on the hotline. Alex, first of all, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Doing a little better than yesterday, sure.
Yeah, man, what happened? Your cool box let go, or what actually took place?
Yeah, it was kind of a weird deal. I mean, I felt great. And, like, right at the midway point, I started, like, from one lap to another just to get a really serious, like, headache. Like, I had a really major pain right in the middle of my head. On the top of where the air was pushing on my head, and I mean, four or five laps later, I couldn't withstand it. I had a hard time like keeping my eyes open, and it was hurting like big time. So I had to pull in, and I jumped out of the car. I mean, the guys found out that the blower was pushing like extremely hot air, probably like what we're guessing is like the sound that's cooling the radiator in the. The AC broke down, and it was pushing like hotter air than the ambient air in my helmet. But that's why it was just like if somebody was pushing my head constantly. It was pretty rough deal. I've never experienced nothing. I mean, I've been dehydrated. I've been really hot in there. I mean, a race car, but
right.
it wasn't the same thing. It was just like a real big headache that I don't know. It was pretty crazy.
Incredible. Now, are you recovered or in the recovery stages? Are you going to, like, what's the prognosis now?
Yeah, no, I'm doing pretty good. I mean, I can still feel a little bit of pain like right in where I'm sitting in the middle of my head where the hair was pushing, but it's not too bad. I went through that NASCAR sent me to a local hospital down there to get a good scan just to make sure there's nothing abnormal and everything was under control. And I went to the scan yesterday and everything was fine, so we're just taking some rest and preparing for Pocono next week.
Well, Alex, I will say this. At Martinsville, not last year but the year before, I was working with Michael McDowell and the LFR team in the Cup Series, and
yep.
with 35 laps to go, he got nudged and hit the wall. And what happened was he ended up damaging the inside of the cool box with that impact. And the final 30 laps at Martinsville, obviously you're hot the entire time, but that exact same thing happened, and it was blowing a severe hot air on top of his head. And, it took him a solid 5 days to fully recover from the thing. So I'm
yep.
glad to hear, you know, that you're doing good. And that is definitely something that, over the next couple months here, the heat is a big thing.
Yep.
But I'm glad to hear that you're doing good.
Yep, yeah, for sure. I mean, it was really a weird deal. I mean, if I would have known, I probably just unplugged my heat or something. But it was kind of, because when you're in a race car, you're so hot, it's kind of hard to feel if the hair that's coming in is cool or hot, because you're already like sweating, and it was a really humid day. So I don't know. I was trying to figure out what was going on, but I couldn't really figure out. It was really weird. But I don't know. Like I said, we're just gonna rest, take it day by day, and we'll be back in Pocono next week.
Absolutely.
Yeah, incredible. Man, you've had a decent season. Let's go better than decent season. You've been doing an incredible job in that number 36 in the Xfinity Series. You've been there since Daytona, since the first race. You guys are focused in on running the full year. What's your take so far? Are you happy with the progress? Are you happy with the team? And you got to be ecstatic.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy. I mean, we're pretty consistent. If we don't, because like the car that yesterday we had one of our new car, one of our car, and we've taken that car only twice this year. It was there in Texas, and that's our two only DNFs. So I don't know if that car is just it doesn't want to race or something. But we've been doing pretty good. We've been doing pretty good with our old cars. So I don't know what we're gonna do, but. We're just trying to get better week in and week out. So that's why we're trying to take our new stuff out and try to test new stuff to get some speed out. But it's a pretty tough deal. I mean, to run the old series, there's a lot of really good teams that we're competing against, and we're just battling every lap and just trying to take everything we can on a race track.
What you got to do, Alex, is just take something old out of the car and put it in the new car. take the tack out of the take the tack out of one of the old cars and then slide it in the new one. You'll be good.
Just don't take the air box.
Yeah,
yeah.
That one there, I'll have to go. Alex, I got to talk to you about one incident. You've been racing everybody clean, and I got to go back a couple weeks ago. You got wiped out by the 16, I believe it was Reed that wiped you out. What took place there, and was there any talk afterwards? Did he come over and apologize at least?
No, not at all. I mean, he walked out of the sun, and what's in his trailer? I didn't really want to talk to him. I mean, I just thought it was a cheap shot. I mean, every time I'm racing around him, he's always like racing us like way too hard and running us in the wall and stuff like that. So I don't really care. I'm just gonna run him the same way. Yeah, the next day I'm gonna race him, but it's just a shame because we had a decent day there. We didn't have our best day, but we were I think 17 or 18, and we're doing what we were doing and just trying to take everything out of the car, and he just flat out dump us coming in the corner, and then we had nowhere to go. But it's part of the game. It's a long season. We've got 33 races, so we're gonna have time to rebound.
Yeah, you just put that one in the memory bank. You'll remember that guy.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, you know what? It happens in the game, and for every one that you get rid of, there's a new one that crops up. So that's part of the game. Like you mentioned, it's part of it. You got to get out there. You got to race them all, and you definitely are doing a dynamite job. I know Canada and everybody up here is so proud of you, Alex, for the job you're doing. Just keep doing what you're doing, brother, because I'll tell you what, we're some excited watching that number 36. You're doing us all proud.
Awesome. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to feel the support throughout the social media of everybody back in Canada. It's pretty special. I mean, we're trying our best. We're doing the most of what we got, and it was pretty rough this weekend to pull out like I did. But I mean, I've been exhausted in my race car before, like if you had and stuff like that, but there was nothing like what happened this weekend. It was a pretty weird deal. We're just going to rebound next weekend and try to build the momentum, because we got a three-week streak. We're going to Pocono, Michigan, and Iowa, so trying to rebound and come back stronger, get close to that top 10, and if we can get in the top 15, close to the top 15 regularly and top 20. I mean, that's what we're aiming for. So, go out for our gold, and I think we're going to be in good shape.
Well, you're going to be dynamite. I can guarantee it. We're going to keep our eyes glued on you. We'll get you back on the program and get some more regular updates as we go. And I'm just so glad to hear that you're all right.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
You want to believe it. That's Alex Labbe. Alex, thanks for the time, buddy. You bet. Great to hear that he's okay, Junior. Hey, I got to let you know, we're hitting it close to the top of the hour. Got to throw it back to Toronto for a news update, and we will be back. Stay with us.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on, come on. Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side off.
Jimmy Johnson's flowing! The race leader off two!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
With the two Joes
here on Racetime Radio
on SiriusXM 167,
where Canada talks.
Boom. Just like that, hour number two begins tonight. Man, time flies on this particular program. Hey, I don't know whether you may have just tuned in here tonight. Want to let you know we've got a contest going. One of our faithful listeners on Racetime Radio, Tone, has offered up two tickets to Michigan International Speedway, the big race weekend, the spring race weekend, which comes up June 10th weekend. These two tickets are good for the whole weekend. You get the ARCA race, you get the Xfinity race. You're going to be able to go see Alex Labbe that we just heard from. And you also get the Cup race. How about 38 Special Concert thrown in there as well on this ticket package? And it's a contest. Here's how you can get your name in to potentially win that. What you're going to do is either tweet us, Facebook us at Racetime Radio, or you can call in the program. You can do that too. What we're looking for is the name of the Cup winner from the spring race at Michigan last year. You give us that name and you're correct, then you're going to get entered into the draw. Now, if you're doing the Facebook and Twitter, you got to hashtag it, Thanks Tony. That's what you got to do. Thanks, Tony, because he's the guy putting these tickets up. How about that? A faithful listener to Racetime Radio wants to share the experience. He's going to the hip to give away a couple of tickets so that someone else can enjoy a race at Michigan and a full weekend. That's unprecedented here on the program. And we're going to give the tickets away on Friday. We'll do a random draw with all the winners. So that's what is up. Pretty cool, Junior.
It is really cool. And just to reiterate, the guy's a fan, and he's giving away tickets.
I know.
The guy, like, it
like
blows
I've got
my
corporations
mind.
That cool. Have said, here, let's give away something here. Let's
exactly.
Do this.
Yeah, no, that's
this
different.
Here is a fan. This is a listener.
This is a listener, wants to get new experience, new blood at the racetrack, which we all want. And he's taking that approach while some other people sit on Twitter and bash the sport we love. You know, that is so cool. And everybody should, just think WWTD.
Yeah.
What would Tony do?
What would Tony do? Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we feel absolutely honored that Tony has contacted us and said, hey, let's do the contest through Racetime Radio because I love listening to the program.
I know. That's so cool.
That is.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony.
Really appreciate it.
Hashtag thanks, Tony.
Yes,
that's the number
there's
one.
Our hashtag, thanks, Tony. We're going to do that a million times, I can guarantee you. But there's your opportunity to win here on Racetime Radio. Compliments of Tony. I want to tell you that we're going to sneak another guest in here tonight, and we're going to do it in just a couple of moments. At least we're working on it right now.
He drives a red car.
Cole Butcher, the number 53 in the Parts for Trucks Tour that won the Cummins 150. We're going to get him on the hotline. That's what we're working on right now.
Red car, big white numbers.
And as a matter of fact,
black and white thing hanging outside the window.
Sue just gave me a thumbs up. That must mean we got Cole Butcher on the other end of this. Cole, what's going on? How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. Hey, congratulations on the big win last night at Scotia Speed World. Good job behind the wheel of that 53.
Yeah, thank you. It was a fun race. The weather cleaned itself up in the end, so it was good for the fans and it was good for us.
You know, watching that race, and we called it last night, the Cummins 150, the Parts for Trucks Tour out at Scotia Speed World last night, and Cole, your car, you were rocket fast, and then, the 67 got ahead of you, and then you guys swapped the lead again, you went back at him. Was it the weather changing that was, changing the race car up, or was that you inside the car going, okay, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that?
I mean, Dylan, we were racing each other good. We were letting each other go, just trying to save our tires, and then I watched him. He was getting a little tight, so I made my move, and I was able to maintain the lead for the rest of the race. So, you know, just a lot of respect going on between me and 67 right now, and hopefully it stays that way for the rest of the season.
Well, it will. I can tell. Watching you two guys on that racetrack, and there's a whole herd of them, but I got to pick on the 67 and the 53. I've seen more side-by-side racing out of you two guys than most of the field, and I mean by a lot. You guys really get after it. You've been racing one another since you guys got into race cars, and you continue to do so now. I know it got a little heated last year, but it's going to do that when you're in competition.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Things got heated last year, but I think they've calmed down between myself and Dylan. So we've been talking a little bit more each and every week. So hopefully we can maintain the cleanliness of the racing and just put on a show for the fans.
Well, and that's what it's all about. You guys definitely did that last night in the Cummins 150. Part of the Alan Kowicki development program again this year. This is your second kick at it this year. How's it going so far?
Well, it's going pretty good. I mean, we got our first win yesterday, so that's pretty good for the points. But, you know, it's great to be back with the Kowicki crew. Give me another shot at and just show what I have to offer. And, you know, it was just a great program to be a part of, and I'd recommend it to anybody to be a part of or apply for 2019.
You guys have been busy in the off season and leading up to the beginning of this season, not only – you know, with the race car and heading down south of the border and getting some racing in there before, you know, turning it on up here on the Parts for Trucks Tour. You've been doing some stuff off the racetrack as well. I got a chance to catch up with Ann there. That Make-A-Wish Foundation has got to be extremely happy with you guys. A check for 110 grand here not too long ago. Good for you guys.
Yeah, I appreciate it. We do a lot of hard work. My mother's the big backbone of it all. She's means a lot to her. It means a lot to everybody, but she's the one that started it all, so we have to give a big thanks to her. I just thank her a little. But it's a great program to be part of, a great foundation, and you know, it's all about the kids and making them seeing that smile on their face. It means everything, and to grant those kids their wishes, I mean, what better feeling is there than that?
Yeah, just amazing, unbelievable. Now, there's still some more too. The giving isn't all over yet. We got another thing coming up for auction that I was talking with her just the other night. That sounds like a cool deal. It's coming up at Ritchie Brothers, right?
Oh yes, the boom lift that's going to go to the Ritchie Brothers auction, and all proceeds go to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So that'll be a good, cool deal. Hopefully, we'll be able to get some good bidders up there, and understand where the money's going to, and you know, hopefully raise some more money for the kids.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. You know, my niece, quite a few years ago now, she got her wish before she passed away, and Make-A-Wish has always been close to our family's heart, and it's really cool to see what you guys do with Make-A-Wish. And as a race fan, it's really cool to watch what you do behind the wheel of that 53 car. Even your brother did a decent job in the 54 yesterday. You still topped him, so you got to be happy with that.
Yeah, we're pretty happy. I'm happy that the cars are in one piece, but, you know, he's getting better each week, so hopefully he'll improve. He'll be on the podium soon, so it's just baby steps, and he'll take care of himself as long as he stays in the trouble.
Cole, one big thing that is notable from this past weekend, it was a day race. You know, you ended under the bright sunshine. Talk to us a little bit about the differences of running a daytime race with one of those super late models and a nighttime race that's going to be coming up here the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I prefer nighttime races under the lights and it ties a little bit tighter. But, you know, the daytime, it was actually kind of acted like a night race because it was so cold. The air was so cold. The track was so cold because of the rain. So, I mean, the sun came out with the last 50 laps, so that was a little difficult because your visor and all that was set up for the cloudiness. But other than that, they got some heat in the track, and it probably freed us up a little bit to be an advantage to us. So, you know, I don't mind daytime racing. I'm used to it with Friday nights, but I would prefer to race under the lights.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. With that tour, it always seems like, and we start a lot of races in daylight and then fade into darkness, but you got to stay up with the changes on the track, and they definitely changed quickly yesterday. And you guys did a phenomenal job staying up on top of it, keeping the lead of that race as you did in the Cummins 150. Now, next weekend, the Parts for Trucks Tour is off for the weekend, but there is a big pass race going to take place at Petty International Raceway. You going to head to the pass race, or are you going to take a weekend off? What's the plan?
No, I don't know. I'm building the car as we speak. I'm just putting the body on it, so we're going to brand new distance racing car that we're going to try it out this weekend in Petty Kodiak. So hopefully it's fast, but you know, it's just all about trial and error. If you have a new car, just like the guys down in Oxford are racing, and they're pretty dominant. So I know Jeff and Ben have been putting a lot of hours into their car, so hopefully it pays off. But I'm going to – we're taking a trip down to the see Jeff and Ben on Thursday just to – and it's their car, so we're going to get them to try it out just so it's 100% Jeff. So we'll try it out in Petty Kodiak, and hopefully it'll be on the podium with the rest of them.
Yeah, good deal. That's going to be a whale of a race. Sounds like we got a lot of good cars coming up to Petty for that, baby. And then off we go to Riverside International Speedway for the Ron McGillivray Chevy Buick GMC 150. That's a racetrack that you've had success at, and it's one that you love going to.
Yeah, it's a different bird. I mean, I love the facility. I'm not a big fan of the racetrack, to be honest. It's probably one of, on the bottom of the list for some reason. I'm just usually never good there, but I mean, somehow we always end up on the podium. But you know, the 67 is the car to beat there, so we have our work cut out for us this coming weekend. So hopefully we'll try something new and we'll get it right. But you know, other than that, we'll put a good race on for them.
I can guarantee it. It's going to be off the hook. Cole, this has been great catching up with you tonight. You got a little bit of time now to get that car ready, but not a whole lot, so we better cut you loose. You do have to get some rest, right?
Yeah, I get some rest. I usually sleep in the toter home out in the trailer in the parking lot, actually, if it's late, but you know, I got to go hang a nose on the car now, and then we got to get ready for some decals on Tuesday, so we definitely have our work cut out for us.
Not a lot of time to celebrate that Cummins 150 win, is there?
No, not really. You win on Sunday and Saturday, and you work on Sunday.
Back to it, right, buddy?
Yeah, that's the game.
Incredible.
Well, that's the recipe. The guy's going to need a tilt and load just to load up his trophies if he ever goes to move. So it's anybody that's racing and not working on Sunday should take notes.
Cole, good luck in the race. I know we'll be watching you on Twitter and, you know, trying to keep up that way. Good luck in the race, and I know I look forward to catching you at that Ron McGillivray Chevy Buick GMC 150, buddy.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you guys for everything you do for us, and we'll see you in 2 weeks' time.
Absolutely. That's Cole Butcher, driver of the 53 for Atlantic Tilt Load. The Kawicki Development Driver Development Program. He does a great job with it, Junior. It'd be good to see, you know, with results, he's going to move up in the points here.
Absolutely, 100%. And just the entire Butcher family, really, is just such a class act out there on the
man.
East Coast. And you know, they dig for wins, and you can see it, both of them. They're going to be up front, you know, all year. And just I love what we're seeing come out of the East Coast with the young guys.
Oh,
the young talent is so cool to watch, and the rivalry that you guys spoke of you know, Blankhorn and Butcher, that rivalry is going to be there as long as you run up front.
That's
right?
It.
If you run up front and you like the guy that you're running side by side with, eventually you're not going to like him very long.
Well, no, because you're going to think, well, he should have cut me a little bit of slack there, and he didn't.
Exactly. Yep.
And that's these two. They both want to win the race. But I'm telling you right now, even though you say the word rivalry, and that's what it is, it's got to be, because both of them want to win. We've seen it last year. There is a respect level in that rivalry.
Yeah.
But, you know, when the line gets crossed, the respect goes out the window.
Absolutely.
And that's what happens.
And you're saying they both want to win. It's not even that way. They both need to win.
Yeah.
That's what I see out of both of them, is that they both need to win in order to be satisfied, you know, moving on to the next weekend. And you know, as a race fan, that's what I pay money at the front gate to go see.
Right.
I see, you know, two guys going at it and you know, going for the win no matter what, at all costs, go win. I love the fact that they're racing good and there's respect and all that great stuff. I just love the fact that they both, you know, have such a desire to go win the race. And you can hear it every time we've talked to them. You can hear that exact same sentiment.
Oh, yeah.
And throw in now probably another 10 guys.
Oh, absolutely.
Easily.
That want the exact same things.
And we'll get it. We'll exactly. get it that these two guys are going to, you know, they're going to be looking at, hey, how come they won tonight?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Incredible. Good stuff. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, another winner, this time the APC winner from Sunset Speedway last weekend. We got him this weekend. We got Brandon Watson going to join us live tonight on Racetime Radio. Stay with us.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so
I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
It's the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you closer.
Looking for victory.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90
takes you inside the sport like no one else.
One car upside down, on fire.
The biggest names in NASCAR.
This is Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano,
Kevin Harvick,
Jimmy Johnson,
Kyle Busch,
and Martin Truex Jr. on your home for NASCAR
all year long.
Checker.
Keselowski just fired.
Yeah, let's go finish this thing.
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car.
All right, I'm out of here.
With the SiriusXM app.
Baseball.
Baseball.
Hear every pitch
of the 2018 season on SiriusXM.
Add your hometown call with dedicated team channels on the SiriusXM app.
Plus, expert analysis
24/7
on MLB Network Radio.
This is the type of a deal that wins championships.
Major League Baseball on SiriusXM and MLB Network Radio. Sirius 209, XM89, and the SiriusXM app.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
The General's back in town.
The stars and cars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour return to Riverside International Speedway.
Put your tap shoes on. It's time to dance.
Saturday, June 16th at 3 p.m. Eastern. It's the Ron McGilvery Chevy Buick GMC 150.
All right, man, you're ready to go.
Under the lights at Riverside International Speedway.
Have a go, green.
From pre-race to post-race, it's all live worldwide at racetimeradio.com. Don't miss the Ron McGilvery Chevy Buick GMC 150.
Yeah, baby, yeah!
Saturday, June 16th. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. For tickets and info, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
I want my MPG.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio
on SiriusXM 167. Canada Talks.
And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. Some funny, funny stuff.
Big apologies to Glenn.
We got two Watsons on the program, right? We got Brandon Watson and we got Glenn Watson. And Sue, controller, dials in. Glenn picks up the phone. Hey, Glenn, how you doing? Is Brandon there? Too funny. Glenn is going to be up next, but we got Brandon up first, and he won the APC race a week ago at Sunset Speedway. He joins us tonight on Racetime. What's going on, Brent? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, Joe?
Fantastic. Man, you got a good start to 2018. Checkered flag.
Yeah, definitely. It was a good start for sure. We had an amazing car, a long winter, but it was definitely good to get off a good start, and hopefully keep her going next weekend at Flamborough.
Man, a lot of good cars in that APC series. You guys have all done your homework. By the look of it, we got a lot of beautiful-looking race cars, a lot of fast guys.
Yeah, definitely. The series just keeps getting better and better every year. They're doing an amazing job there at APC, all their contingency sponsors and everything. They're doing really good, and definitely the competition's getting stiffer and stiffer, that's for sure.
Brandon, we all seen the news release come out, obviously after after the final results were released, and a bunch of guys got a penalty after that weekend over at Sunset, and you guys were unfortunately one of them. Talk to us a little bit about what happened with that. It sounds like it was a little bit of a tubing issue.
Yeah, it's a kind of thing that everyone kind of looks over, I guess. I'm not sure if it's been checked before, but it's just, yeah, it's, I believe it's just a rear clip issue, it was a width issue for us, the steel we used. Some people, I believe, it's a thickness. It's just a rule that, unfortunately, kind of gets looked over, I'm guessing. They checked this week, and unfortunately, four of us at least had the problem. I'm sure more cars will have the problem. We'll have to get it fixed, but definitely didn't work good for us. That week, but we got it fixed up, and we'll be back out again next week and hopefully trying to get some points back at Flamborough.
Yeah, good part for the guys that didn't get checked. They're not going to lose any points, and they're going to be able to have it fixed.
No, yeah. So they lucky there, but it's just unfortunate, but we'll have to try and pick ourselves up and, like I said, come back this week at Flamborough and get those points back.
Yeah, it's just part of the game, man. It happens. You know, it's like not marking on or off on that kill switch.
it's just one of those deals.
Anyway, let's move on past that. Sounds like you have, and that's what you got to do when you're in this game. Looking at Flamborough Speedway, you like that racetrack. You've done some winning there.
Yeah, getting better and better at it. First few times there, I didn't have that much luck, but last year we really did really well. Got one win and a second, so hopefully we can keep that going. It's definitely, like you said, it's definitely getting a stiffer car count, so it's going to be tough. But I think we got a good car this year. McCall Racing Prizes, another great job. Car field, a good Sunset, so hopefully we'll have a good car there. I think we will. And like I said, we're getting better and better there, so hopefully we can keep the winning going there.
Now, the other Watson we're going to have on right after this interview is your Uncle Glenn. And Glenn went to Victory Lane this past weekend. I seen a photo of a red number 9 super late model, but I didn't see you in the top 3 at the end of the night. What happened this past weekend with the number 9 ride?
We definitely had a good car. We had another McCall Racing Enterprises car there. We definitely have a good car. It's just unfortunately I'm going warming up for the feature drive plate broke off it, and the axle popped out, and we lost rear end there. So it was kind of unfortunate. I thought we had a good car. We had a good race at 22, but no, the other guys, unfortunately, it just didn't work out for us that night.
So double duty for you this year. You're going to run the APC series and the super late when you get time. Is that the deal there?
Yeah, that's what we're looking at right now. It's definitely for sure APC. Looking to do the point championship and that again. But we're going to... We're trying to do the Super Series too. Unfortunately, it didn't start off too well, but I think we're still going to try and get all the races in. You'll definitely see us at Jukasa in a couple weeks, it's a month or so now. Definitely looking forward to that. It'll be fun and super again there.
Brandon, you're one of those diversified drivers that we've got here in Ontario, in Canada. You've been down south. You've done a lot of racing down there. You've raced up here. Compare for me, if you will, because you've done some... CRS racing down there. You've done a little bit of everything. Compare what we've got going on right now in Ontario and in Canada versus what you've ran in the past in the United States. Are we stacking up? Are we ahead of the game? Where are we at from a competitor's point of view?
Well, we're definitely getting a lot better. I think the big thing, like this series, like APC Ultimate Le Mans series, is definitely it's like getting better. They're definitely one of the top ones in Ontario. They're similar, I think, to what we race in CRA. We race there a couple years. They have similar events, same kind of deal. A lot of tech, a lot of rules that keep all the cars within the same running. It's definitely a lot of competition in APC here, and there's definitely a lot of competition down south. As everyone knows, it's really tough down there. You get a lot more money down there, but it's definitely series like ABC, like I said, are definitely catching up. They're doing a great job here. They definitely are kind of running along the same program as CRA and stuff like that, and all the other series down there. So we're getting better up here. The racing's getting a lot better. So I think series like ABC and stuff like that are definitely putting up a good show for events around here. It's definitely getting better.
Yeah, and the more time that's involved and the more concentration that the teams put in as well is going to make things better, right? The fans really, really are enjoying things, and that's what takes. That's the recipe for success. And it looks like we got the right recipe now, especially you add in, you know, tracks like Jukasa, and that just gets everybody else fired up to improve their program. I think it's all going to work better in the future. It just continues to get better, and that's the cool part.
Yeah, I'm sure tracks like Jukasa and stuff will definitely get the more cars out. Hopefully some cars come from the States and stuff like that, get more people around. But definitely AP Series is helping, and like tracks like Jukasa and stuff picking up their game and a lot more. It's definitely a fun track there. I'm sure everyone wants to come down and try that out.
Brandon, what all do you have left on your schedule for 2017? Obviously, you're just getting out of the gate now. Or 2018.
17?
You're just getting out of the gate now, 2017.
That's okay. I said CRS.
Yeah, CRS. We're all mixed up here, Brandon. It's been a long night. Hey, no, but what all do you got left for the season? Obviously, your hat's in the ring to go get the championship in the APC Series again. You were out there in the Ontario Super Late Model Series. What else do you got lined up for the season? And where else can fans see you you know, over the course of the season?
That'll be mostly all we're doing. We're definitely going to throw in we'll obviously be at the Jukasa 25,000 win pro late model race. Other than that, I don't have anything in mind. Just other than that, like, if we're open, we'll do big events, some specials and stuff like that, but been around Ontario, definitely just APC, and then we're gonna try and do all of the Super Series, and of course the Jukasa race. That'd be a good show.
So busy season, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's not just the little bit. Those are two big tours for sure, and lots of racing by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely going to be a busy year for us, and we're looking forward to it. We'll be able to do with all our sponsors and stuff, and everyone that helps out, and of course everyone that I'm a call racing prize. Everyone just there, they always give me a good piece. So I'm looking forward to this year. It's definitely a busy year, but it's gonna be fun for sure.
How about testing? Do you put a lot of weight in testing? Do you guys do a lot of testing, Brandon, with, you know, the APC car or the Super? Do you put a lot of weight in that anymore, or do you guys basically show up and take advantage of the practice time that you get just before the race?
It's different. Usually want to get some testing in, but we didn't get too much this year. We went out once in the APC car before the Sunset race, and we didn't have any testing. We just showed up to Flamborough with the Super. Maybe needed a bit of testing, apparently. Had a problem there, but we'd like to do testing, but sometimes just don't have time and stuff runs up, but usually we do okay, though. McCall brings a good car to the track, and usually we don't have any problems. But like I said, it's nice to get testing in, but sometimes just don't have time, and usually APC does give you a lot of time to practice, so that's good, and usually we get the piece going good.
I will say, Brandon, your car is not as boring as it was last year.
No.
I'm just saying, you had the boringest car I've ever seen. You were like very vanilla last year.
He had the fastest car last year.
Very, very vanilla last year, man. What do you celebrate with? Just like milk and just like a white rice? Is that all you had? Because it was
pretty much.
So boring, man. Now this year, though, your car looks badass. You guys did a good job with it. I'm just calling you out from last year.
Yeah, I can't say Mike works enough. They were designed enough for having that car. They wrapped it on the Sunday before the race, just before tech. So they did a good job on it. The car looks amazing.
It does. It looks really good.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. But hey, you can't take anything from last year. The guy got 7 wins out of how many races? 8?
Yeah, they didn't need to wrap it. They had win stickers all down the side.
Yeah. Amazing job. I don't know if you're going to have that easy of a year this year. I know it wasn't easy last year. You had good success, and you guys earned it. I don't know if it's going to be that way this year. What are your thoughts heading in? Because you've only got one race in. You won it. What are the thoughts heading into the rest of them? Do you think it's going to be like last year?
No, definitely not, I don't think. ABC made a few adjustments to the racing procedure, I guess, kind of deal. I think it's the first place in points can only start, like, the highest 10th, I believe. they haven't done it yet or anything like the second race, but that's definitely going to be a big change for everyone starting coming up to come all the way back from the field, and definitely competition's picking up. Jared Patrick's definitely put a lot more work into this field this year. He's picking up for sure. You know, there's always going to be contenders like Gressel and Ritico all going to be there, the same as last couple of years. And there's definitely a lot of new rookies and stuff like that. So it's definitely going to be a lot tougher this year. It's going to be hard to have as good a season last year, but we're going to do our best and just try and keep getting to the winner's circle and keeping it clean, Clark.
You know, back in your dad's day, back in our All-Star days, we used to handicap the guys, and they'd be lucky. If you won the race this week, you'd be lucky to start the top 20.
Yeah. So they're definitely trying to change it up and get the fans more in and more exciting racing. It's definitely going to be tough for a track like Flamborough and stuff, and everyone's picking up speed. So it's going to be tight, and I'm sure that the points are going to be a lot closer this year, and it's going to be coming down the last race, I imagine.
Well, I watched you last year at Sauble Speedway, Brandon, and you started, I believe it was eighth. You were eighth place, or it was seventh place. Yeah, it was seventh because you were on the inside. But they dropped the rag, and that race went green to checkered, but you drove your way right up to the front and drove a whale of a race. And looking forward to seeing what you can do for the rest of this season, and keep your nose to the grindstone.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a lot of fun. There's a lot of good, clean races in there, so you can always get up from the front wherever you are. Even Gressel did from the back last LA second. So it's definitely possible to get up there, but it can't help without good clean racing and a lot of good drivers.
Do you got a favorite track? Which one of those are your favorite? Do you got a favorite or don't you?
Well, right now it's probably Ducati. It's definitely a fun new track. It's definitely the quickest around here. So, but I love going to any of these tracks. I like Sunset and Flamborough is definitely getting better and better the more wins you get there. I'm starting to like it a bit more, so.
Yeah, well, the list continues to grow of those wins, and that's kind of cool. Brandon, good luck at Flamborough Speedway. I know everybody's going to be watching. Everybody's going to be just coming off the chip to get to Flamborough and watch the APC series. And good luck the rest of the way. I know we'll get you back on the program. I can almost guarantee it.
I hope so. Thanks, guys.
You want to believe it. That's Brandon Watson. Watch for him in the number 9 in the APC series. Going to be exciting. He did get some points deducted, but so did some other guys. They got their points deducted. I believe that would have J.R. Fitzpatrick in the points lead right now. J.R.'s car passed Tech, no problem. So it's going to be interesting. That is, you know, when you get a disqualification like that, if it was one guy, it would be one way. But when it's on the masses, you know what? It really puts the teams in check. That's going to have those guys going through fits, pulling the rule book up now and reading it and going through every single detail. Because by the sounds of it, APC is going to be holding these guys to the letter of the law on every one of them, not just some teams, but all teams, and that's what they needed to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, you know, judging by, you know, talking to everybody and over the last couple of years, they've been really doing that. They've been narrowing it down and really focusing and nitpicking almost on certain things you know, doing a good job with the rule book. You know, seeing how their conversation has went, you know, in five different directions of well, they should have done this or they should have done that, but they did something on the rule book side,
sure.
Right? And
yep.
And the good part about it was, you know, Brandon Watson didn't win the race because he had a tubing issue of a half an inch difference or a 1 inch difference. I don't
care whatever
what it was.
It,
now, if you did the whole chassis like that, then that's a whole different ballgame.
Tell me something, though. Just in a location in the rear of the car down low, would you not want that to be heavier? Isn't that where you would
mount with these cars, the biggest thing with me is it's a safety issue by the sounds of it. That's what they're, you know, pointing at. You would want it to be heavier back there because you really struggle with rear weight, getting rear weight into these cars. It's not like the old days, right? They're very center heavy and, you know, center and low. So these cars, you struggle to get that rear weight up to a certain level. So it's not like these guys had an advantage of a major proportion. You know, it was maybe a 15 to 20 pound advantage where you had 15 to 20 pounds in the center of the car,
right?
Over the grand scale of things. They still all weighed the same, right? And really, for your CG, it's not like it was a high bar. It's not like it was up top. It was all down low. So if you move that from there down to the center pan of the car, you're going to move your CG by, like, not even 0.1.
Right, but so, your percentages will change.
So overall, it's not an advantage. These guys, they didn't find a bigger carburetor on these guys, right?
No,
And you know, it definitely is shocking to see that many guys get nailed.
For that small of a issue.
Exactly. But, you know, hats off to APC for catching it. It is part of the rule book. And we'll definitely see how everything goes. J.R. Fitzpatrick, obviously your leader. Junior Farley is sitting second right now with that new McCall car that he purchased at the end of the year.
That's Brandon's car from last year, isn't it?
No, Petey Shepherd's car.
Oh, Petey's.
Yep.
Yeah.
Matt Pertigo is sitting third. Trayton Lapsevich with that LRR entry. And then as well, Jamie Cox, Josh Stoddy, Brandon Watson. That's your top seven right now.
Wow.
So really it bumped Watson all the way back to seventh place. You know, with a 13-point deficit up to the front. So it's a short series. You don't have a whole lot of time to make up 13 points, especially on a guy like J.R. Fitzpatrick. So
wow.
He's got his work cut out for him.
That's a kick.
That's a kick
for sure. Definitely.
Definitely.
Okay, we're going to hit a quick break, and then we're going to get the other
Watson. We've already talked to him once.
We're going to get Glenn Watson on here. He went to Victory Lane at Flamborough Speedway in his super late model. No, this isn't a repeat. This isn't a re-air. This is live. He just continues to win. Glenn Watson's going to join us on the other side of our final break. Stay with us. We will be back.
Hi, this is Larry Berrio, and you're listening to Race Time Radio on Sirius XM, Channel 157.
You can never know what it's like. Your blood like winter freezes just like ice. And there's a cold and lonely.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam.
If you stop for 1 minute and think that you're going to stay ahead, you are absolutely kidding yourself, because everybody in that garage is trying to catch up. So as a team, when you have an advantage, you have to make sure that you motivate your people and make sure you reiterate to your people, we have to keep pushing forward, because if you sit on your hands, you will get left behind in this deal in about 6 weeks.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam. Heard exclusively on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
The General's back in town.
The stars and cars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour return to Riverside International Speedway.
Put your tap shoes on. It's time to dance.
Saturday, June 16th at 3 p.m. Eastern. It's the Ron McGilvery Chevy Buick GMC 150.
All right, man, you're ready to go.
Under the lights at Riverside International Speedway.
Man, we're going green.
From pre-race to post-race, it's all live worldwide at racetimeradio.com. Don't miss the Ron McGilvery Chevy Buick GMC 150.
Yeah, baby, yeah!
Saturday, June 16th. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. For tickets and info, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your Victory Lane smile at dawsondental.ca. And by Bobbleheads Canada. Visit bobbleheadscanada.ca.
Baseball. Baseball. Baseball.
Get out of here. Gone.
Hear every pitch of the 2018 season on SiriusXM. Add your hometown call with dedicated team channels on the SiriusXM app. Plus, expert analysis 24/7 on MLB Network Radio.
This is the type of a deal that wins championships.
Major League Baseball on SiriusXM and MLB Network Radio. Sirius 209, XM 89, and the SiriusXM app.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Plus right up.
Jimmy Johnson's blowing the race leader off two!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back. It's Race Time Radio.
Sirius XM 167.
Now, here's Joe.
Welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight. Maybe you're tuned in on the Performance Motorsport Network.com. Hello to you. How about Gearhead Country Radio? You may be tuned in on there, but definitely SiriusXM. Channel 167. Yeah, Podbeam. That's another one. Yeah. iTunes. Maybe you downloaded it. Get a chance to win some tickets. Man, it's a great time to be a race fan and a listener of Racetime Radio, especially when we got the next guest. And we got him right. We got him. We got Glenn Watson. Went to Victory Lane in a super late model, number 22, at Flamborough Speedway. Kicked off 2018 exactly as he planned to do with the win. Glenn, what's going on? How you doing, bud?
Hey, good. How about you?
Fantastic. Man, you kicked off another season with a win. How many years have you done that?
100. You know, that's one stat we've never collected. That's a good one. I'll have to look back on that. That's an interesting one.
You know what? I can probably go through our archives. We've got every single show that we've ever done saved, and I believe each time you've done it, we've had you on this radio program.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. You work pretty damn hard on that 22, you and the crew. To go out and do what you do, it's got to feel rewarding when you get to the racetrack, nothing breaks, you get out there and you do your job.
Yeah, it was good. It was a busy week. We went out for testing on Wednesday out at Sunset and broke our primary motor, so we had to put our good old faithful backup in, and it was a busy few days getting ready and loaded her up Saturday, and it was we didn't think we had much of a chance for the win, but car was really good and we were able to pull it off.
I believe the exact same thing happened to you last year. You put in a backup motor, and then you went out and won. That happened last year, too, didn't it?
Yeah, actually.
You should stop putting new motors in the car, Glenn.
Yeah.
I can remember. Now, we're going back quite a few years. I'm going to say probably 8, maybe 10 years ago. Back when we were on CFOS and Owen Sound, I can remember having you on the air. And super late models, you had just, I believe... Well, not just got into a super, but it was one of your first years, and you and I discussed the possibility of seeing a crate engine in a super late model, and I can remember you and I laughing, we're never going to see it. Today, that's what we're seeing, right?
I don't think there's any crate motors in the super late models right now.
No?
Not in Outlaw. No. Not in Outlaw.
Not in an Outlaw.
No, not in the Outlaws. No.
Not in
There, I shouldn't say that. There, I think there's still a couple of the McGonagall spec motors kicking around, but you know, regular 604 crates. No, they didn't cut it. And with the rule changes they made the last couple of years ago, it's really not the way to go now.
Yeah,
I guess you'd probably be okay at Peterborough if you could really keep your speed up. It might not be too bad, but it'd be a tough road to hoe.
Yeah, Absolutely. They wouldn't hold a candle to what you got underneath the hood, correct?
Well, they were good, but you know, they weren't bad. As I say, at some of the smaller tracks, they would be. You know, you can survive a little bit, but if there's any place where you can kind of stretch the legs out, they fall a little short.
I remember J.R. Fitzpatrick when Oscar was going. J.R. Yep. Fitzpatrick came out in one of Passer's cars, and it was one of his first races, and they ended up breaking their big motor, and he put in a crate. And we were testing the late model for Peterborough Autumn Colors, and he was out there at the same time, and JR was testing it, and he came in, and he was like, man, I can't believe how fast I can get to the throttle, but I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, right.
All this tire.
If you keep the speed up and roll it through the corners, you're all right, but if you got a... You got to slug it out at all. It's sometimes a little tough.
Well, Absolutely. That's how you save money on tires, though. Put a crate in, right?
Yeah.
Incredible. So take us back to Flamborough Speedway. You unloaded. Obviously, you unloaded good. Were you good all night?
Yeah, we were pretty decent. We were hitting the track pretty hard, so we just had to. We only had a couple of short practice sessions, so we didn't have a lot of time to mess around. But we got a pretty decent. We did group time trials, we went out last and really didn't think we had a shot at the pole. And the last couple of laps, we stuck it on the pole. Car was really good in the feature. Like, it turned nice, rolled through the center nice, and could really get back to the gasket.
Yeah, that's what you need, too, right? You like to have that comfort in the car. Glenn, with the new entity this year, the Oscar branding, the Oscar Super Late model is gone. We've got the new entity. Does it feel any different? How was the drivers' meeting? What's the feel of the new series feel like?
Well, it was good. You know, there's still a little concern that the car count wasn't what everybody was expecting, but it sounds positive that there's a lot of guys that are close to being ready, waiting for engine parts, or the car is just not quite ready, and there's a lot of those guys out there. So hopefully, they'll get off their butts and get their stuff ready and get out to the racetrack, because it's we don't have many chances left to keep this thing alive. So we've got to get it out. I think the atmosphere is positive, and everybody that was there is looking forward to keep racing. So I don't know. Hopefully everybody gets their stuff together and gets out to the racetrack.
You know what, and I hate this about this sport, it doesn't fall back on you guys that were at the racetrack. And it really, to the guys that weren't ready, weren't prepared for the season, I don't even know how to look at that anymore. I've done it so many times. I've tried to figure out a way and what the rationale is behind it. Because you go to one racetrack and you'll end up with whatever you get, 10, 12, 15 cars. And then you go to another track, and all of a sudden you get 34 of them. There is no rationale in between those two. I can't figure it out.
And, if we look back over the years, probably the first race, no matter when it is, it's always short on cars. It's been like that in Oscar for, quite most years. Some years, not so much. But a lot of years, and unfortunately, or not unfortunately, but I guess unfortunately for John, he's quite often the first race at Flamborough, and he takes the brunt of it.
Well, guys like Jeff Hanley, I can remember interviewing Jeff lots of times back in the Oscar days, and Jeff wouldn't show up to the first race because he didn't want to be in the points. He'd say, I'm not going to go to the first race because if I go and I happen to win, and he usually did pretty good, then he's in the points, then he feels the pressure of that points, and you know what that pressure is all about, because you're the guy that's in it.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah.
And, he's a race car guy building race cars, so, he's busy and got to get his customer cars out first, I guess. That's kind of the way the business goes.
Yeah, and it does. Ear to the pipe, do you hear of a lot of guys, you race against all these guys, do you hear of a lot of guys that are, damn, I didn't get my motor, didn't get my rear end, didn't get this?
Oh, yeah. Yep. There was a few of them there last night, and, and a couple of guys are just, didn't have the body finished or, just not quite ready to go yet. So, yeah, there's the guys are out there, and I think, I think we're going to have the counts. It's just going to take us a little bit to get there. I just hope everybody's patient and lets us get to that point.
Yeah, and it's a different format, too. With the Oscar brand, the Oscar entity, it was more of a club fashion, right? Because you guys did have an executive. I know Dave was at the top.
Right.
But there was an executive where the entity that you guys are running under now, you're back running under the promoters. So that is in their wheelhouse now.
Yeah,
if there's stuff that gets flung around, it's going to have to be flung over that way.
Yeah.
It's up to them.
I guess maybe, maybe over the years that got to be an issue for, some people and didn't want to race under that banner. And hopefully, I was thinking that, now that it's changed and, a new program, I was hoping that, guys were going to get out. We'd have lots of guys out, but, as I say, maybe it's going to take a little bit of time.
Yeah, and I guess maybe Dave wasn't so bad. Dave probably wasn't so bad.
To be honest, his hands were probably tied on what he could do.
Sure.
He didn't own a racetrack, so, he only has so much power, and I don't know. We're a tough bunch to deal with sometimes, us race car guys.
And sometimes it is, but I'll tell you what, when it connects, when we all get connected, there's magic that can happen. And going to happen this year. It's going to happen for a lot of different racing series. We got to be real happy as race fans here in Ontario and in Canada. From what we're seeing, it's got to be, I think we've all turned the corner, man. It's going to look pretty damn good after we get things fired up.
Yeah, I think so. It's I think I haven't really been out to many of the local tracks, but you know, from what I hear, the programs have been pretty good. Car counts have been, you know, somewhat decent, and everything sounds positive. The APC series, you know, they're doing another bang up job getting cars out and promoting the series. So, you know, you're right. I think it is a good time.
Any looking over the shoulder, Glenn? I know you love your Super, you love your number 22, but do you ever look at that APC series and go, maybe I should put one of them together?
No, it'd be nice to run a program like that, but it just, you know, I think it costs as much or more to run that program as it does to run the Super Late model.
Right.
You know, it's your day-to-day expenses are probably less to run the Super. You know, you've got a little bit more expense in motors, but other than that, you know, there isn't anything that's more expensive on a Super Late than there is, you know, on those cars. You know, I've run the same shock since All-Star, so, you know, I think they've changed their shocks 3 times or something like that, and we're still running the same ones, and we just rebuild them every year. So,
right,
you know, there's to switch over. To take this car that we've got, we could convert it over, but you know, it's going to cost us more than the Super Late model would cost to do it.
And I guess too, if you're a WestJet pilot, it's a little hard to fly a Cessna. Right? No, you're keeping it real, what you've got underneath the hood, and as a super guy, you love the speed, and
it's not saying that
an APC car is slow by any stretch, but when you love the power of a super late model, you definitely won't get that same feeling with an APC car.
Yeah, there's nothing like pushing the loud pedal and it's sitting you back in the seat.
I honestly feel that comment is kind of geared towards exactly where the car count situation is with the Oscar Super Late Model Series or with today's Ontario Super Late Model Series. Everybody that's got into Super Lates have got there because of that feeling. They're not getting in there for the racing, right? I feel that a Super Late Model driver is there for the feeling of hitting that throttle with 700 horsepower. Right or wrong, that's got to be a big portion of why you guys drive a super late model.
Yeah, it's a good portion of it, and the cars are just fun to drive.
Correct.
Well, when they're working right, they're evil.
They're evil when they're not, right? Yeah, exactly.
But you know, they're a lot of fun to drive, and you're right. There's nothing like pushing that pedal, you got that right.
Where I'm going with that comment is, you know, guys want to drive a super late model and they want to race a super late model because of that and because of a couple other things, but mainly because of that. You've got the outlaw standard where you've got less rules and you can be more creative with stuff, and you've got a little bit of that, but it's been a lot less focused on the actual racing side of it. Now, it creates good racing because of all those different factors, but when you look at a guy that really sets his eyes on the APC series, it might not be about how much horsepower the car has or how fun it is to drive, but it's how fun it is to race and get out there and be competitive on a grander scale. So I think when you look at the contingent, now you don't fall into that category, and I don't think that a guy like Jeff Hanley even fits into that category. You guys are just badass super late model racers. But I feel that 80% of the contingent that strap into a super are at that level where they just like getting out there and hitting the loud pedal. And you know, they get out there when they can, and it's not, there's no skin off their back if they miss a race.
Yeah.
But I love watching super late models.
I love it.
Love it.
Are they forgiving? Are they, like, we see some big-time wrecks with those outlaw super late models. Are they forgiving? Is it the driver, when the mistake happens, it's the driver error? Or is it the car that isn't forgiving?
I wouldn't. That's a tough one. Well, there is a lot of power, and I guess if you know, depending on what your tire management, you're trying to run with, you know, tires that are wore out or, you know, something like that, that can be really, really tough, because, you know, you get to a point where you know, you only got so many laps in the tires.
Right.
And once they're gone, they're gone, and then you just, you know, anytime you touch the pedal, it's just like stepping on a rattlesnake.
I think back to Kawartha, Glenn. I think back to Kawartha. It was the Summer Sizzler or something like that. You were out there. You had the lead of the race. You ultimately ended up burning the tires off that race car. You faded back to around, I don't know, sixth, something like that. You came into the pits with, like, I don't know, 5-10 to go. You bolted on new tires. You went back out there, started at the back, and won the race. It was amazing.
That was with the super late.
That's the way, it was the super late. Yeah, it was, maybe it was a Biederman Memorial Night or something like that. I can't remember, but I was at the race and I loved it. It was unreal to watch you do it.
Yeah, we have such a good time at Kawartha. It's just such a good track for us that, I wish we were racing there, you know, every race almost. It's just that much fun to race there.
Well, it's going to be off the hook watching you this year. You got a good start into 2018. Your next race comes up when?
I think it's the 23rd of June at Jukasa.
Another place you just love to race at.
Yeah. It was an eye opener for us last year. I haven't raced a lot of stuff on the bigger tracks like that, so we done well. I think we were second quick on in time trial, so our race didn't go as good as I would have liked it to. Our car got a little tight, and it just didn't stick with us, but. You know, all in all, it was a good day for us. So yeah, I'm looking forward to going back now that we've had some laps on it. I feel a little more comfortable. The biggest track I'd really been on before, we've been on Cayuga before. We just, we weren't really that good back then. So it's nice to go with a car that's working good for us.
Get the big motor.
I
back
was just
going
to say, you're going to get the good motor together.
Yeah.
Or you're going to put the $1.99 one back in that wins.
Yeah, we want the good one back. Old Hank, I don't know if his lungs would be hanging out at the end of the straightaway at that place.
Incredible. Glenn, this has been great catching up with you. I always love doing it. What do you got on the side of the 22 so people can recognize you? If they don't see the number, what's the name on the side?
We got Linex on there and National Fleet Care. They've been with us a while. And Klotz Canada fuels us up. We got Abe and Ken's Auto this year. They were new for us this year. And Classic Towing and Top Shops, Race Two-Way, and Watson's Garage.
Man.
There's a lot of people that help us out, and we're really appreciative of it.
Yeah, you can't beat that. You got a checkered flag and full fenders. You got it all going on, Glenn Watson. Good for you.
Yes, sir. That's great. Thanks, guys.
You betcha. We'll see you after Jukasa.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, that's Glenn Watson, driver the number 22 in the super late models. You can catch him out at Jukasa next.
Yeah, absolutely. And if it's anything like what we've seen last year with the car count at Jukasa, there's going to be a bunch of them there. And, looking at how good Glenn Watson is, he's got to be a favorite to win the championship now.
Wow, yeah, right off the start?
Right out of the gate.
Yeah, hopefully those cars come out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. This
isn't a club now. This isn't a club. This is back to the track promoters.
Yep.
Promoters, come on, get her going, boys.
Yeah, exactly.
The weight is back on your shoulders. You want it, you got it, let's see you do it.
Exactly.
We want to see some cars on a racetrack, and if it's in your shoulders, then get her done.
Well, judged by the races at Jukasa last year and the car counts that they had, they're going to have a boatload of cars.
Well, and because there's a whole pile of promoters in on this, don't be pointing the finger at the next guy saying it's his fault. That's cheating.
That's
cheating. You'll get teched out on Racetime Radio if you do that. But I digress. That is... Junior, that's all we can fit in.
That's about
it. 2 hours, we are jam-packed. That's going to be the end of her here tonight. I want to give you one final reminder, because this week you got till Friday to get your answer in to win those tickets that Tone's got up. Two tickets to Michigan International Speedway for ARCA, Xfinity, and Cup. You can't beat it. Give us the winner of the spring race last year. Do that. Facebook, Twitter, call us, whatever. We're going to get you into that draw, and good luck.
Use hashtag thanks, Tony.
Thanks, Tony. That is what it is. But that's going to do it for Junior and I here tonight. Got to thank everybody in Toronto. Got to thank Susie Q here. And got to thank all of our guests for coming on the program. And thank you for tuning in. Tell your friends. Tell your neighbors. We'll catch you back here next Sunday night right here on Racetime Radio. Have a good week, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com.
a message on our 24-hour listener hotline. 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy.